Welcome to page 33. This is a great page. It's the Age of Jesus page, okay? And I had to put in just kind of a fun fact page, but this is about the side of Jesus being pierced. This happens in John 19. And I wanted to show you that there are so many different lenses and ways of looking at this. In the Old Testament course, I introduced you to four different things called the four senses of scripture, or the four hermeneutic lenses. Those are literal, allegorical, anagogical, and moral. So I'm going to be using those kind of four ways to look at this one event, because it's not just one simple thing happening. It's one thing and another thing and another thing and another thing, okay? So we have to kind of get comfortable with the idea that we don't see the full picture, but we can see, it's almost like flipping over a coin or flipping over a dice and seeing different faces of the same thing. That Jesus's death on the cross and the subsequent piercing of his side actually means multiple different things in multiple different ways. And they don't necessarily contradict one another. They're all true at the same time. Okay. So let's first look at the literal. Okay. The literal sense of scripture here is just asking what is actually happening. So just to kind of clarify that, lay that groundwork. Blood and water literally come out of Jesus's side. The Roman soldier checks that he's dead and thrusts a lance up into his side, and blood and water come out. What is actually happening is called pericardial effusion. This is when the human heart is under an insane amount of stress, and it creates like a water bag around the heart to protect the heart. Okay, so it's not figurative language. This is real human death, and the soldier's spear did pierce the heart of Jesus, and the sac of water around his human heart burst, as well as the blood from his heart, and it both poured out. Okay. Also, we know that it's not figurative language just because when John is writing it, he repeats it three times in order to show you that it's really not a metaphor. He says in John 19:35, "He who has seen has borne witness. His witness is true. He knows he's telling the truth." Three times he swears to these events. He's making sure that no reader can see this and think, oh, that's a parable. Why would he do that? Because this is actually significant. Okay. He knows that this is not just blood and water coming from Jesus' side. There's lots of symbolism here. Okay. Also, just a little bit of historic context, this Roman method of ensuring death was a common custom. It wasn't like this Roman soldier was like, I wonder if I'll just stab him in the heart. Okay, he like knows what he's doing. He knows to put the spear right between this rib and that rib. And it's a mercy for the Jews who couldn't let their dead hang overnight because they had to prepare for the Sabbath. So it's like not the first time this Roman soldier's ever done this. Okay, so I'm clarifying that point to show this is very commonplace that this would happen, but the uncommon thing is that blood and water came out, okay? But it's definitely human death. This is also a good moment to say Jesus actually did die. This is not him falling asleep and he wakes up and he did die and he did get raised from the dead, okay? So that's the literal. That's literally what's happening. But there's layers, okay? So let's first talk about allegorically, anagogically. Well, I'll just kind of mention a bunch of different things at once. It would be fun to kind of draw little arrows to different corners of the page to record all of these things, okay? One of them I mentioned before, this is allegorical lens that Eve in Genesis was born from the side of Adam. Adam went into a deep sleep, okay? And then God pulled out a rib from his side and then made that rib into woman. And then Eve became his bride. So in the same way, the pouring forth, you know, comes out of Jesus' side is his bride. Blood and water may not look like a bride, but it is symbolic of the church. The blood representing the Eucharist, the water representing baptism, the two primary sacraments of the church. And it's like a, here comes the bride. church born from the side of Christ, she is his bride. Now, this is also a sign of like birth. You know, natural birth includes a lot of blood and water coming out, okay? So blood and water is a sign of like the birth of the church, okay? Let me just read something from Augustine because this might help, you know, put better language to what he can say it a lot better than I can. Okay, here's Augustine. "When he slept on the cross, he bore a sign. Yea, he fulfilled what had been signified in Adam. For when Adam was asleep, a rib was drawn from him and Eve was created. So also while the Lord slept on the cross, his side was transfixed with a spear, and the sacraments flowed forth, whence the church was born. For the church was the Lord's bride, created from his side, as Eve was created from the side of Adam. But she was also made from his side, no otherwise than while sleeping. So the church was created from his side, no otherwise than while dying." Okay? Okay. So there's that. The miraculous drawing of Eve from the side also led to marriage. So the miraculous drawing of the church from the side leads to marriage. In the book of Revelation, Jesus marries the church. Okay, another little thing. Ready for another one? Find another corner of your page and write about the temple. Okay, the temple bleeds on the right side. I'm talking about the Jerusalem temple, the Temple of Solomon, the big old temple with the Holy of Holies. That has an altar in the middle where all the animal sacrifices are made. And because there's so many animal sacrifices, they need to wash out the blood with water, and the blood and water gets washed into a drainage thing on the right side of the temple. So the temple bleeds out of its right side. Okay. When Jesus says he's the temple in 2 John, he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to build it up. And they're all angry. And he's like, no, I'm talking about the temple of my body. This is Jesus, the temple. The temple is the meeting place of God and man. It's the place of encounter. Jesus's body is the place of encounter. He is the temple. And because in his mystical body, we get to become the temple, okay, where God dwells in us because of his humanity. It's crazy. Ezekiel 47, 1 through 12, he has this vision where he sees water flowing outside from the right side of the temple, the new temple, and Jesus is the new temple, okay? Next up, we've got the Samaritan woman. Okay, the Samaritan woman, 15 chapters earlier, we read about Jesus's encounter with her, John 4:7, and he offers her living water. I mentioned earlier in this packet that the living water symbolizes the bridal bath that a bride gets to take before her wedding to prepare herself, okay? But he says in John 4, it will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life, living water. Okay, this Jesus asks her for a drink on the cross. Jesus asks for a drink, and they both. The both conversations where Jesus asks her for a drink and then when he asks the Roman guard for a drink, the conversations start with him being thirsty but end with him becoming a source of water. Okay? For the Samaritan woman, he says, give me a drink. And then later he says, I will give you a drink. I'll give you life-giving water. For the Roman soldier, he says, I'm thirsty. The Roman soldier gives him a drink, but then in a few minutes, Jesus is the one producing water. He is the drink. You know what I'm saying? So these are the only two times that Jesus asks for a drink in the entire Gospel of John. So we have to assume that John is trying to emphasize something here. John crafts his description of Jesus's death in order to mirror the conversation with the Samaritan woman to show us that the water that flowed from Jesus's side is the living water that he offered her. And what else is it except for the sacraments? Baptism. This bridal bath that he's offering the Samaritan woman comes in the form of baptism, where our souls get washed. Why do we do baptism? To become adopted children of God, to come into his family, but ultimately to have union with God through the Eucharist. And the Eucharist is bridal. The Eucharist is the consummation, the marriage bed, where the bridegroom comes into the bride and we get to receive him into our bodies. Okay? So the living water that the Samaritan woman was promised, it's right here, the blood and water flowing out of the side of Christ. Okay? Next one is, I think maybe already mentioned, but just worth saying by itself, the seven sacraments. Okay, seven sacraments are our way to access heaven. There's this beautiful image that I wasn't able to put in the packet because I don't own it, of course, but it's just sketch drawing, if you've ever can Google it, of Jesus on the cross, and from the blood dripping out of him, the blood kind of trickles down into different pools, seven different pools or little streams, and the seven pools have sheep drinking out of them. And the sheep are us, and the seven pools are the seven sacraments. By his blood on the cross, all of the sacraments were able to be efficacious. Okay. We have access to heaven through the seven sacraments. We have access to the temple, Jesus, touching God through the tangible seven sacraments, but most importantly, the Eucharist and baptism through the blood and water. Okay, there's more. There's more. Next one is find another corner of your page, the Holy Spirit. You might be like, what? What are you talking about? But the Holy Spirit is also another symbol of this blood and water coming out of him. The blood and water are not literally the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is literally given to the apostles at Pentecost, but symbolically, it's a sign of him being poured out. The Spirit of life is given through Christ's death. Okay? I'm going to read to you a snippet from this article about comparing between Moses striking the rock in the desert and the water coming forth and the Holy Spirit. Okay? Ready? When Moses struck the rock, a stream of life-giving water poured out into the desert. When Jesus was crucified, John tells us that the blood and water poured from his side. In reminding us of the water as well as the blood, John recalls for us the cry of Jesus at the feast when he says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." Now he said this about the Spirit, with which those who believed in him were about to receive. Okay, so back up just a little bit. Jesus is claiming on a big feast, we'll talk about that another time, but he is claiming that he is the one who will give you life-giving water, just like he said to the Samaritan woman. He says, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink." Then Jesus quotes his Old Testament scripture, "Out of his heart shall flow rivers of living water." He says this, And now here on the cross, out of his heart is flowing rivers of living water. Okay? He said that anyone who believes in him will have rivers of living water flowing out of his heart. He's going to give to anybody who believes in him the Holy Spirit. Okay? Do you see? Do you see the connection here? The water that Christ gives us is the water of the Holy Spirit. The breath of the risen Christ symbolized the gift of the Spirit. So does the water that flowed from the blood of the crucified. The Spirit of life is given through Christ's death. Okay? So it's a symbol. It's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is symbolized by a lot of things. We shouldn't really be surprised that water is one of them. Okay? He's a dove. He's fire. He's water. Okay, so here he is coming out of the side of Jesus. This is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. Okay? And one more, one more. Do you have one more piece of your page that you can write on? I'm going to write Divine Mercy Jesus, okay? Have you ever seen the image from St. Faustina? Jesus gave St. Faustina a vision of himself, and out of his heart flowed rays of light, white and red. And he spoke to her about his mercy and how he wanted to let the world know of his mercy. He told her that this represents the water of baptism and the blood of the Eucharist. Let me read a piece from the diary of St. Faustina, 299. During prayer, I heard the words within me. The two rays denote blood and water. The pale ray stands for the water that makes souls righteous. The red ray stands for the blood, which is the life of souls. These two rays issued forth from the very depths of my tender mercy when my agonized heart was opened by a lance on the cross. So Jesus himself is telling St. Faustina, years and years later, by the way, there's one more symbol I want to show you, that it stands for my mercy. Okay, and of course it makes sense. Eucharist and baptism are mercy. This is the mercy of God allowing us back into his family even after we have sinned, even after we've been unfaithful, right? But the blood and the water, the water makes souls righteous. The red stands for the life, which is the blood. It's mercy coming out of his heart. So how's that? Lots of different things going on here. Just from one little line in the Gospels, we can pull so much. It's such a mystery, the scripture. Okay, on to the next page.